ಆನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವ ಶಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೇಂದ
ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ
ನಮೋ ರಾಮ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷೋ ಶಬ್ದಧಾನಸ್ಯ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಕಥಾರುಚಿಃ ಶ್ಯಾನ್ಮಹತ್ಸೇವಯಾ ವಿಪ್ರಾಃ ಪುಣ್ಯತೀರ್ಥ ನಿಷೇವನಾತ್. ಓ ಟ್ವೈಸ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್ ಸೇಜಸ್, ಬೈ ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ದೋಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಫ್ರೀಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ವೈಸ್, ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಡನ್. ಬೈ ಸಚ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ಗೇನ್ಸ್ ಅಫಿನಿಟಿ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಮೆಸೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಸುದೇವ. ಶೃಣ್ವತಾಂ ಸ್ವಕಥಾಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಃ ಪುಣ್ಯಶ್ರವಣಕೀರ್ತನಃ ಹೃದಯಂತಸ್ಥೋ ಹ್ಯಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ವಿದೂನೋತಿ ಸುಹೃತ್ಸತಾಂ. ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಸೂಪರ್ ಸೋಲ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಂಡ್ ದ ಬೆನಿಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್ಫುಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ut ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಬೈ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ ಅಟೆಂಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಬೈ ರೆಂಡರಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಟು ದ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ಸಮ್ ಟು ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲವಿಂಗ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೇಸ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇರ್ರಿವೋಕಬಲ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್. ತದಾ ರಜಸ್ತಮೋ ಭಾವಾಃ ಕಾಮಲೋಪಾದಯಶ್ಚ ಯೇ ಚೇತ ಏತೈರ್ ಅನಾವಿದ್ಧಂ ಸಿತಂ ಸತ್ವೇ ಪ್ರಸೀದತಿ. ಆಸ್ ಸೂನ್ ಆಸ್ ಇರ್ರಿವೋಕಬಲ್ ಲವಿಂಗ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ದಿ ಎಫೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೇಚರ್ಸ್ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಯಾಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಆಸ್ ಲಸ್ಟ್ desire and hankering disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya granthesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante
is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Govinda ki jai. Samavetta Bhakti Govinda ki jai. Go Premanandi. All glories to Sambhu devotees. All glories to Sambhu devotees. All glories to Sambhu devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvashesha Shunyavari Pastachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Verse 2. Sri Sukha Uvacha Ud Indriyam Mana Pranam Jananam Astarjat Prabhu Matartam Cha Bhavatam Cha Atmane Kalpanaya Cha. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Buddhi, material intelligence, Indriya, senses, Mana, mind, Pranan, vital air, Jananam, of living entities, Asrajat, sent forth, Prabhu, Supreme Lord, Matra, of sense gratification, Artam, for the sake, Cha, and Bhava, of birth, Artam, for the sake, Cha, and Atmane, for the soul, Kalpanaya, for his ultimate abandonment of material motives, Cha, and translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Lord manifested the material intelligence, senses, mind, and vital air of the living entities so that they could indulge their desires for sense gratification, take repeated births to engage in fruitive activities, become elevated in future lives, and ultimately attain liberation. Purport. At the dawn of creation, when the living entities, conditioned living entities, lay dormant within the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, he initiated the process of creation by sending forth the coverings of intelligence, mind, and so forth for the living entities' benefit. As stated here, Vishnu is the independent Lord Prabhu, and the living entities are his Jana dependents. Thus, we should understand that the Lord creates the cosmos entirely for the living entities' sake. Compassion is his sole motive. By providing the living entities with gross and subtle bodies, the Supreme Lord enables them to pursue sense gratification and, in the human form, religiosity, economic development, and liberation. In each body, the conditioned soul utilizes his senses for enjoyment, and when he comes to the human form, he must also discharge various duties assigned to him at the different stages of his life. If he faithfully discharges his duties, he earns more refined and extensive enjoyment in the future. If not, he is degraded. And when the soul eventually hankers to be freed from material life, the path of liberation is always available. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments that in this verse, the repeated use of the word cha and indicates the importance of all of what the Lord provides, not only the path of liberation, but also the paths of gradual elevation through religious life and appropriate sense enjoyment. In all their endeavors, the living entities depend on the Lord's mercy for success. Without intelligence, senses, mind, and vital air, the living entities cannot achieve anything, neither elevation to heaven, purification through knowledge, perfection of the Eightfold Meditational Yoga, nor pure devotion through following the process of Bhakti Yoga, beginning with hearing and chanting the names of God. How then, if the Lord arranges all these facilities for the conditioned soul's welfare, can he be impersonal? Far from presenting the absolute truth as ultimately impersonal, the Upanishads speak at great length about his personal qualities. The absolute described in the Upanishads is free of all inferior material qualities, and yet his omniscient, omnipotent. He is omniscient, omnipotent, the master and controller of all, the universally worshipable Lord, he who awards the results of everyone's work and the reservoir of all eternity, knowledge, and bliss. In Mundaka Upanishad, the Mundaka Upanishad states, Yat sarvagya sarvavid yasya jnanamayam tapa. He who is all-knowing, from whom the potency of all knowledge comes, he is the wisest of all. In the words of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Sarvasya Vasi Sarvyasashana, he is the Lord and controller of everyone. Yet Prithivyam Tishtan Prithivya Antara, he who resides within the earth and pervades it. And so Kamayata Bahushama, he desired, I will become many. Similarly, Aitareya Upanishad states, Saikshata Tat Tejo Srijata, he glanced at his potency, who then manifested the creation. While Taittiriya Upanishad declares Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, the Supreme is unlimited truth and knowledge. The phrase Tattvamasi, you are that, is often cited by impersonalists as a confirmation of the absolute identity of the finite jiva soul with his creator. Shankaracharya as follows elevate these words to the status of one of the few Mahavakyas, key phrases they say express the essential purport of Vedanta. The leading thinkers of the standard Vaishnava schools of Vedanta, however, vociferously disagree with this interpretation. Acharyas Ramanuja, Madhva, Bala, Vidyabhusan, and others have offered numerous alternative explanations according to a systematic study of Upanishads and other Shrutis. The question Maharaj Purich has submitted here, namely, how can the Vedas directly refer to the absolute truth, has been answered as follows by Sukadev Goswami. The Lord created intelligence and other elements for the sake of the conditioned living beings. A skeptic may object that this answer is irrelevant, but Sukadev Goswami's answer is not actually irrelevant as Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains. Answers to subtle questions must often be phrased indirectly. As Lord Krishna himself states in his instructions to Uddhava, Parokshavada Rishaya Paroksham Mama Cha Priyam. The Vedic seers and mantras deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. In the present context, the impersonalists, on whose behalf Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, cannot appreciate the direct answer. So instead, Srila Sukadev gives an indirect reply. You say that Brahman is indescribable by words. But if the Supreme Lord had not created the intelligence, mind, and senses, then sound and other objects of perception would all be just as indescribable as your Brahman. He would have been blind and deaf since birth and would know nothing about physical forms and sound, what to speak of the absolute. So So just as the merciful Lord has given us all facilities of perception for experiencing and describing to others the sensations of sight, sound, and so forth, in the same way, He may give someone the receptive capacity to realize Brahman. He may, if He chooses, create some extraordinary way for words to function, apart from the ordinary reference to material substances, qualities, categories, and actions. That will enable them to express the Supreme Truth. He is, after all, the Almighty Lord, and He can easily make the indescribable describable. Lord Matsya assures King Satyavrata that the Absolute can be known from the words of the Vedas, Madhyam Mahimanam Cha Param Brahmeti Saptitam Vetsya Sanu Grahitam Me Samprashna Vivritam Hridi. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me, and because of your inquiries, everything about my glories which are known as Param Brahma will be manifest within your heart. Thus you will know everything about me. The fortunate soul who has been graced by the Supreme Lord with divine inquisitiveness will ask questions about the nature of the Absolute, and by hearing the answers given by great sages, which are recorded in the Vedic literatures, he will come to understand the Lord as He is. Thus, only by the special mercy of the Supreme Person does Brahman become sabditam, literally denoted by words. Otherwise, without the Lord's exceptional grace, the words of the Vedas cannot reveal the Absolute Truth. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti suggests that the word buddhi in this verse spoken by Sukadeva Goswami can indicate the Mahatattva from which evolve the various expansions of ether, such as sound, which are designated here as Indriya. Matra artam then means for the sake of using transcendental sound to describe Brahman, since for the precise purpose of the Supreme Lord inspired Prakriti to evolve ether and sound. A further understanding of the purpose of creation is spoken by the words bhava artam and atmane kalpanaya, if the reading kalpanaya instead of akalpanaya is taken. Bhava artam means for the good of the living entities. Worship kalpanam of the Supreme Lord, atmane, is the means by which a living entity can fulfill the divine purpose for which they exist. Intelligence, mind, and senses are meant to be used for worshipping the Supreme Lord, whether or not the living entity has yet brought them to the stage of transcendental purification. How both purified and unpurified devotees use their intelligence, mind, and senses in worshipping the Lord is described in reference to the following quote from Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Sapundarika Nayana Mega Bam Vajut Ambram Dvibujam Mana Mudra Jam Vana Malinam Ishwaram. The Supreme Lord, appearing in His two-armed form, has divine lotus eyes, a complexion the color of a cloud, and garments that resemble lightning. He wore a garland of forest flowers, and His beauty was enhanced by His pose of meditative silence. The transcendental intelligence and senses of the Lord's perfect devotees correctly perceive His purely spiritual beauty, and the realizations are echoed in the Gopal Tapani Shruti's comparison of Lord Krishna's eyes, body, and clothing to a lotus, cloud, and lightning. On the other hand, devotees on the level of sadhana, who are in the process of becoming purified, have only barely realized the Supreme Lord's boundless spiritual beauty. Nonetheless, by hearing scriptural passages such as this one from the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, they engage in contemplating Him in to the best of their fledgling ability. Although the neophyte devotees have not yet learned how to fully realize the Lord or meditate steadily on even the effulgence surrounding His body, still they take pleasure in presuming we are meditating on our Lord. And the Supreme Lord, moved by the waves of His boundless mercy, Himself thinks, these devotees are meditating on me. When their devotion matures, He draws them to His feet to engage in His intimate service. Thus, it is concluded that the Vedas have access to the personal identity of the Supreme only by His mercy. Suvide Goswami said, the Supreme Lord manifests as the material intelligence, senses, mind, and vital air of the living entities so that they could indulge their desires for sense gratification, take repeated births to engage in fruitive activities, and become elevated in future lives, and ultimately attain liberation. So, the question was asked by Parikshit about the Vedas. How can the Vedas indicate the absolute? Of course, in one sense we're talking about the impersonal Brahman, which is beyond the gunas, it's nirguna, and cannot be in any way described under Desha. So how is it possible that the Vedas, which appear to be material words, can talk about the Supreme Lord? And that becomes the topic of this whole chapter, which eventually leads to the prayers of the personified Vedas, which also answers that question, how is it possible that the Vedas express about the Supreme Lord? But of course, the presumption here is that the Supreme Lord is impersonal and He has no qualities, and therefore, obviously, He couldn't really describe anything about Brahman, since it has no qualities, no form, no activities, etc. He couldn't, even a name is insufficient to describe it. However, though the Vedas indicate that this is one aspect of the Lord, it is not the only aspect. So we have Bhagavan and Paramatma as well. So that's one way of resolving this problem. At least, if they do have forms, even if they are spiritual, we can attempt to describe them somehow or other. But even then, even if the Lord does have a form and qualities that are describable somehow or other, how can material words describe the Supreme Lord? So therefore, that has to be answered also. And the answer to that, as described in the purport, is that the will of the Lord is there, so if He wants to, He can make words describe the Lord if He wants them to. That's all. He has the Shakti to do so. Which indicates also that Brahman, or Supreme Lord, has Shakti. He does something. He has power to do things. He's not just Brahman existing with no activities. He has power to do things. This first statement by Sukadeva Goswami talks about the creation. The Lord creates for the jivas, the intelligence, senses, mind, pranas, etc., so they can enjoy in the material world, and they can also get liberation from the material world. So, by the description that the Lord creates something, this also indicates that the world is not illusory. So not only Brahman exists. So right here we have Supreme Lord, we have jivas, jananam, for the jivas, and we have material energy consisting of buddhi, indriya, mana, prana, etc. And Vishnu Chakravarti takes buddhi as mahatattva, which indicates all of prakriti. So we get the material elements, the pancha mahabhutas, we get the indriyas, 10 senses, we get the mind and the intelligence, etc., and we get the pranas. These all are constituents of the material body of the living entity. So these are taken as real. The Lord created them. It doesn't say He didn't. He created an illusion. He created these things. So, therefore, all of these things are real. Supreme Lord is real. Jiva is real. And material energy is real. He creates them in such a way that even though the jiva technically is not matter, it is spirit, it can use these things for material enjoyment or for liberation. So this shows the skill of the Supreme Lord, how He can create something that has two opposite functions. The mind and body of the human being can be used for staying in the material world with the material body, or gross and subtle material bodies, or for getting out of the material body and manifesting a spiritual body in the spiritual world. So, very skillful use of material energy by the Supreme Lord. So, this is one use of the Lord's energy. He can make it in such a way that the jiva, though he is by nature spiritual, can enjoy prakriti. And then he can also make it function in such a way that he can escape from material world, he can get liberation from material world. So the Lord can use things as he desires or make arrangements for them. So then it's not surprising that the Lord can use words, and through words we can also get liberation from the material world. Not just, he doesn't just have buddhi and indriya, etc., but then we have the sound, objects of, we say, tanmatras, etc., arising from the material elements. So from ether we get sound. So this is also useful for the jiva. We can use it for bondage in the material world. We can also use it for liberation from the material world. So, therefore, material sound can be used for bondage in the sense that we have what's called gramya katha, worldly discussions which bind us more to material enjoyment. Or we can have sound which is the opposite, and it can take us out of the material world, give us knowledge, and break the bondage of the material world. So this is the because of the Lord's particular skill. And as mentioned in the purport, that is indicated by the word Prabhu. Usually we say the word Prabhu was meaning master or whatever like that, which is one meaning of the word. But another means ability. The person who has ability, he can do something. So we can use that word, he has the ability to walk. So he's a Prabhu of walking. He has the ability to walk. Because Prabhu and Prabhav are about the same, and Prabhav means a power or ability. So therefore, he has the ability to do things. Of course, unlike jivas who have some ability, the Lord has full ability to do everything, even the impossible. So therefore, not difficult for the Lord to use energy in such a way that we get a spiritual result. So, of course, when we talk about Vedic literature, sound, Vedas, even Puranas and other works which are considered scripture, it is called sabda, which arises from ether, but actually it's not the same sabda as the material sound at all. It is different. It is actually a spiritual sound. So just as the Lord has created a material world with real matter and real senses here for the jiva, the Lord by his internal energy also has a spiritual world where we have forms of living entities with eyes and ears and nose and mouth and tongue, and they can hear things. There is sound, there is taste, there is sense objects for the senses, but it's all spiritual. So it's not impersonal Brahman. It is great variety in the spiritual world with senses and sense objects, but they're all spiritual. So the scriptures, Shabda, are actually that spiritual sound in the spiritual world. That has many forms. The simplest form, of course, is simply the name of the Lord. It is absolute in the spiritual world. It is spiritual sound. That's the most concentrated sound in the spiritual world, the name of the Lord. And that manifests in the material world as Nam Sankirtan. And of course we get the whole of scriptures also, expansion of Nam, we can say. So therefore the when Shankaracharya talks about the Mahavakyas, he selected Tattvamasi and Aham Brahmasmi and these things like that, which indicate Jiva is Brahman, and only Brahman exists, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, etc. He's taken ten Mahavakyas taken from different Upanishads, say, okay, this is the actual meaning. So we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, that's not true. Om is the Mahavakya. And Om means Vishnu. So there, it doesn't indicate Tattvamasi, etc. These are not the main indications of the Vedas that the Jiva is ultimately Brahman, only Brahman exists. Om is the primal syllable. So this indicates Vishnu. And of course, we have another analysis. It's Radha Krishna Jiva also. So, and anyway, the Om is actually another name for Om is Pranava. And Pranava means to praise. So, in other words, Om itself is a name of the Lord praising the Lord. So it's another type of kirtan, a little specialized kirtan. It is still kirtan. So it's pranava, it's praise of the Lord. It's kirtan also means praise. So, therefore, the Vedas are not indicating only Brahman exists, and the Brahman is Jiva, Jiva is Brahman, etc. Impersonal. But rather, the Vedas are explaining about Vishnu and the relations of the Jivas to Vishnu. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra. So, of course, when they take the Mahavakyas, even then they say that is, you know, taking selected words and then taking those words literally. But our Vaishnavacharya said you have to take those statements in the context of their statements. They're made in a certain context, and if we analyze that very carefully, then they do not indicate oneness of Jiva and Brahman at all. So we have to take the context as well as taking the statement. So in any case, we don't consider those the primary statements of the Vedas. Shankaracharya has selected them, but we don't have to follow his cue that those are the main statements. Therefore, the conclusion of the Vedas is that of personal, not impersonal. In any case, how do the Vedas express the absolute truth or whatever? And the answer is that the sabda is not material. It's that spiritual sound, or para. It's called para, which you cannot hear with the material ear. Mercifully, the Vedas and the name manifest themselves so that we can hear them and we can say them. That's called the Vaikari stage of sound. So it starts out as para, and gradually it is perceptible by the mind and the intelligence, and finally by the ear. So that's the last stage, called the Vaikari stage. But that doesn't mean that the para stage is missing. It's there within that sound that we hear. So therefore, the sound is more complex than we think it is. We think it is material sound. Anyway, our ear can hear it. That's true, we can hear. But within that, there is the para sound also. The para is producing that material sound by the Lord's special capacity, as explained here. Actually, it's all taking place by the Lord's and His mercy, that we can actually hear the sound with the material ear. Simultaneously, we also get the spiritual sound in there. And therefore, it is spiritual sound conveying spiritual ideas about the Lord with a spiritual form. Not a problem if it is spiritual sound, then it can convey the Lord. Just as material words convey material ideas and material concepts to us, we have all sorts of material descriptions. So spiritual descriptions will give us spiritual conceptions, spiritual forms, spiritual ideas, etc. And no problem. It's not material anymore. The requirement, however, to some degree, is that we do have to have some receptability to, let's say, absorb the spiritual sound, the para aspect of the sound. Particularly the Vedas require a higher ability, so there's qualification for the Vedas. Therefore, the Sudras cannot hear the Vedas because they won't get any benefit from it. So at least we have to be purified a little from Tamagun, then we can appreciate the Vedas a little bit and get a little bit of influence on us. And if you're in Sattvagun, then you get more influence as a Brahmana. The name of the Lord is a little different because that can affect everybody. So it doesn't require the same qualification. So you get influence, that para influence affects even the jivas, the human beings in Tamagun. Very, very powerful. Nevertheless, the more we have bhakti, faith, and bhakti, then the more it becomes powerful. The more influence it has. So that is why we say faith is the qualification for bhakti proper. That's where we get great results coming. We can have it without faith. We can hear the name and we get some effect. But real progress starts taking place when we have faith. So that is faith, not just generally faith in Vedas or faith in Dharma, whatever, but particularly pure faith. Faith in the process of pure bhakti. That is anya abhilashita shunya, that type of bhakti. When we develop that faith, we're qualified for it, sudha bhakti. So we have the other types of bhakti. Sometimes they're not even called bhakti. They're called like the mixed bhakti of the other people. It's called nabhas. It's nabhasa bhakti. Like a nama bhas. So we have bhakti abhas. So the mixed ones are called abhasas. So when we talk about having faith, that means faith in Sudha Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. That is, we recognize the Lord, recognize the difference of the jiva, and our goal is not artha, dharma, kama, or moksha. It is simply serve the Lord in prema. So that type of faith in this particular process of pure bhakti, that is the beginning of bhakti. And if we have that, then we can get the real essence of the Vedas. We can get the real meaning out of it, and we can appreciate, and we can get knowledge out of it, by which we can advance, and then we get realization out of it as well. Therefore, we do have to have that particular faith. Then we get the proper understanding, and we get the proper directions, and then we get the proper realization. So, in this way, the Vedic literatures have a spiritual function in relation to the jiva because of the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. The Vedas are special sounds, special words that, by the Lord's mercy, have spiritual potency. They're not normal material sounds.
We say faith is the starting point of bhakti. The faith comes from when somebody gets the association of a devotee. So isn't it the association of a devotee should be the starting point of bhakti?
Well, to get faith, we do Sukritis, which are Agata Sukritis. If we don't have faith, then we won't even approach a devotee. We'll sit in our house, go material enjoyment, whatever. No faith. We won't read scriptures or anything. So, if we accidentally see the form of the Lord, hear kirtan, get prasadam, this creates an effect on the atma. And life after life, accidental accumulation of these sukritis increases the interest of the jiva in the Lord until finally it manifests as faith. So then faith means, as I said, a conviction in the process of pure bhakti. So that person will become curious about what is real religion, what is real worship, etc. And then finally he won't be satisfied until he gets the information from a devotee. And the devotee says, oh, yes, you have to practice pure bhakti, and we don't want material assets, we don't want liberation, we only want to please Krishna. So if he has faith in that, then he starts the process of bhakti. So first there is mercy of devotees in the form of Agata Sukriti, then there is faith, then there is again mercy of devotees, then he gets proper knowledge, then he can begin the process of bhakti. He gets Sambandha Gyan, and he can practice bhakti.
Second thing, the translation of the verse is, the Lord manifested all the senses so that a jiva can enjoy birth after birth, and then later on he can progress to in the spiritual life so that he can go back. So that will give a chance for all the jivas. Why should we do it? We can come later on, because Lord has said, manifested. Sukadev Goswami is saying that we can, Lord has manifested the senses so that the senses can be enjoyed by the jiva.
Yeah, for both, yeah. So if you want to, yes, you can enjoy.
Then it gives a chance more to the people who are not inclined towards bhakti to saying this, that we should keep doing this, we should keep this, later on we will decide.
Well, here he's giving a choice for both. Huh? Now most jivas are not inclined to spiritual life. So, human beings, a little bit more, have a chance. Animals don't. They can't think. So, as a human being, then the Lord gives an elementary system. That is karma yoga. So, he doesn't directly say, get out of the material world and all this. Okay, get your enjoyment, but follow some rules and regulations, then you get better enjoyment. And eventually you get to Svargaloka and you can enjoy for thousands and thousands of years. With no birth and death and all this. But you regulate yourself. So for unqualified people that don't really have any interest, they just want to live in the material world with the bodies, then he tells them, well, you can do so, but it's a continual process, birth after birth, and therefore you have to do punyas, you have to avoid papa, etc. And gradually they get up to sattva gun that way. So that's the first process. Then, if you're in sattva, then you can think a little bit, well, what is the real purpose in life? And you become detached from material things. Then he gives you jnana yoga. Concentrate on atma. And then finally, once you know what atma is, you can concentrate on Supreme Lord there. So he gives different processes for people of different qualifications.
Maharaj, in this whole process, you find that the philosophical inquiry comes into picture. Like, there is Agya Sukriti, which is chance association of devotees. Then after that there is some faith, and then the person starts thinking about what is real religion, etc., as you were saying. So in this, the philosophical ability of a person comes into picture. What about those souls, those jivas who may not have so much of philosophical ability to even think so much, so deep? Will they not be able to practice?
Well, this is not actually a philosophical faith. As I said, it's an acceptance of the existence of Supreme Lord, which we will say is bhakti in one sense. It's not philosophical. It's not an intellectual thing. It's an inclination of the jiva that develops through Agata Sukriti. So we can say that in his heart of hearts, the jiva starts losing faith in material enjoyment and starts getting a little bit inclined, not completely, but a little bit inclined towards something else, something beyond material world and material enjoyment. And not only that, that could lead to its liberation, but he understands there is a Supreme Lord with a spiritual body, etc., and I should be his servant, etc. So that is called faith. It, of course, has a little philosophical implication, we can say, but it doesn't have to be that clear even. But he does have an idea that there is me and there is a supreme entity. And then also this idea of pure bhakti also, that I'm not trying to strive to get things out of the Lord. I'm trying to only please the Lord. It's not clear maybe, but at least something is there. Then by seeing devotees, that becomes clarified. People that just have some general interest, they may not be advanced enough to take to bhakti in this way. So they'll take out mixed bhakti. So that's not real faith. That's a different type of faith. Those persons can advance to faith also if they get association of devotees eventually. Then they can also get. But eventually, there is, that little philosophical thing in a sense, difference between jiva and Supreme Lord. We're the servant of the Lord, and pure bhakti versus mixed bhakti. At least that has to be there. Otherwise, we can't advance on the path of pure bhakti. But I think it's not very difficult, even for the most simple person who has good faith and devotion, then he can also understand that. It's not a difficult concept for people to understand. So he doesn't have to be, you know, intellectually brilliant to understand that.
may not be intellectual ability, but I was saying also about most people don't even think so far, actually. To even to come to bhakti, that requires some sukriti, but even after coming to bhakti, to see whether it is mixed bhakti or pure, most people don't want to think so much, so stressed.
Yeah, so many people may not come with pure faith. They will have this mixed faith, they'll have bhakti abhas. They may come simply because of tradition. Family tradition was like that, and we want to be traditional and dharmic and all that, so we'll take to bhakti because that supplies us with some sort of stability in our life, you know, like a religion, like a normal material religion. So many may start like that, and many may not progress beyond that. So they'll go to the temple and pray and do that, but they won't be so much interested in philosophy. So they're not even called Vaishnavas, they're called Vaishnava Praya, almost the Vaishnava. So it's a type of bhakti abhas, and their faith is not real faith also, it's traditional faith, or atatvika shraddha. It's not tatvika shraddha, it's atatvika shraddha.
So even these, some of these may actually become devotees also, in the sense regular ISKCON devotees also.
They could be chanting, but hopefully by association, and they will advance. And that, but for that purpose, again, Prabhupada has repeatedly emphasized on very simple points, like in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. If you're not philosophical, just read that and memorize 5 points out of there. Then you can progress, you know. But at least you should have that much philosophical astuteness to understand what he's saying there. If you don't, then you're a little bit hopeless, I would say.
Whereas, like, another question is, like, it seems like the scriptures themselves can be understood at various levels, not just at two levels of sense gratification and, say, prema, which we talk about.
Oh, yeah, all mixed levels in between. We get karma, and then we get jnana, we get astanga yoga, bhakti, and then we get mixed bhakti, then we get pure bhakti. You could have karma yoga mixed with jnana, you could have karma yoga mixed with yoga, you can have all sorts of various mixtures in there also. And you can have bhakti yoga mixed with jnana, bhakti yoga mixed with yoga also, and you know, all sorts of different desires mixed in there as well.
So Krishna doesn't allow the jiva to actually understand this whole thing to the extent of prema, to that extent, unless and until he gets faith. Is that the understanding?
Yeah, that's it.
That the Krishna does not allow the jiva on one's own to understand that the final purpose of the Vedas is prema, unless they receive faith from the devotee. Is that the...
Well, yeah. They act according to qualification. So he encourages them according to the qualification. He gives different processes. And those who develop faith, then by the mercy of devotees, then they take to the process of bhakti. So it requires mercy of devotees to after faith and before faith also. So both is the mercy of devotees.
So this sometimes we say that when we are chanting Hare Krishna, so is Krishna, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Naam Akshara Haya, Naam Bahir Haya, Naam Na Haya. That means we are only chanting the syllables, Krishna Krishna. Mm-hmm. But Krishna is not manifested in that name. Right now when we are chanting, an impure person when he chants.
Well, that's for materialists, the Mayavadi, etc. If we have a little faith, then it's different. If we have this bhakti abhas, then it's namabhas. It's a shadow of the name, and it can give you liberation or material benefits. If we chant pure name, then we can get prema. So different things from different types of name are there.
So now a sadhaka at the Shuddha, pure faith, sadhaka is chanting, and the Siddha is also chanting the same names.
Yeah.
So then is there no difference between these two people?
Well, the sadhaka who's chanting pure name, he has anartas. Definitely it's a pure name, and he can advance. So he can advance to the stage where he becomes Siddha. So what is the difference? The Siddha, when he chants the name is not different from the Lord. So he realizes the Lord in the name. The sadhaka is striving for that, but hasn't got to that point yet. So that's the difference.
Chanting or sadhaka is chanting, he's not able to realize that Krishna is manifested, or that Krishna only manifests when a pure devotee chants.
Well, a pure devotee actually starts in sadhana with when we talk about pure bhakti. So basically, he's a pure devotee. Yeah, of course, he's not prem bhakta. He's a sadhaka with anartas, and then bhava bhakta, a little anarta, and then prema, 100% pure. But they're all called pure devotees. So we have to practice that pure bhakti in sadhana to get to the pure bhakti in prema. But we don't realize the Lord completely in the sadhana, only in bhava somewhat, and in prema completely. So in sadhana, we're chanting the pure name, so to speak, but we do have an artha. So it's not literally pure name at that point, because we don't have that 100% devotion. We still got an artha, maybe 50%, 70%, 20%, whatever. Prema, 100%, only bhakti. So that's the pure chanting of the holy name in its literal sense. But because we are practicing in sadhana and we're not consciously asking for things, then we call that pure bhakti, and that leads to that stage. But we don't get the same effect, obviously, because that impurity is there. So we get some realization of the Lord, but not a complete realization of the Lord. Well, the Lord is absolute, like the sun is absolute, but it's covered by the clouds. So when we see it, then the clouds are in the sky, so we don't see the sun fully. So name is always the name. It's non-different from the Lord, but because we have covered senses and mind, etc.,
so it means we
that
are
blocks
not
the effect, so we don't experience it properly. That's all.
So it means Lord is manifesting, we are not realizing.
Yeah. Because we're covered.
Gurumaharaj, from these explanations we see that there is a clear demarcation with the Lord Himself as His manifestation as Krishna and His manifestation as Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu gives protection for all the materially oriented jivas, whereas Krishna gives only for the spiritually oriented people. But the transition from the materially oriented jivas to the spiritual oriented to jivas, that how does it happen? Through the Vedas, but the Vedas are said to be mainly for Karmakanda people.
No, Vedas are for Karmakanda, and then you have Gyankanda, and we have Bhakti in there also. So it depends on who or what qualification you have. If you're qualified for Karma, you read the Karmakanda. If you're qualified for Jnana, you read the Gyankanda. If you're qualified for Bhakti, you read about the Bhakti part, and you get the conclusion of Bhakti. So it gives all three. Yes, there are all types of people.
Krishna is not, directly concerned with the Nityabaddha jivas, whereas Mahavishnu gives protection to them. Even at the time of illusion, they get into Mahavishnu's body.
Well, we can say he's concerned about them because he makes an arrangement for scriptures, for dharma in the forms of manu, and for bhakti. The manus also teach bhakti. So the Lord and then individual devotees also come in the material world. So these are all arrangements to the Lord to deliver the jivas at all times throughout the day of Brahma for all of Brahma's life. And Brahma's also a devotee, ahead of a sampradaya also. So therefore, the Lord makes arrangements for distributing knowledge and bhakti by which the jiva can attain the Supreme Lord.
Mayavadis do not understand this twin purpose of, as you were saying, the skill of the Lord or the Prabhu. They do not understand this, that it can also actually.
But there is no Lord, there's only Brahman, and there's no material energy. There's nothing. There's only Brahman, ultimately. And everything that we think is here is actually just illusion. Yeah.
So they don't believe this, that actually Shabda can actually liberate us. They say everything is illusion, even the Vedas.
Yeah, it's all illusion. Jiva is also illusion.
Yatra Shri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.